for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 1st, 1990, Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Duran of Phoenix, Arizona, is the speaker of the morning.
Hallelujah.
Will I not do a thing in the midst of you, says God? Will I not break asunder the fetters that bind you? Have I not come to be your warrior in the midst of you? Am I not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are my promises not true, says the Lord thy God? Am I not the one that bought you and set you on high places, that I might nurture you and fill you up to overflowing? Am I not the one that said, I will do all things through you? For it is from me, through me, to me, says the Lord, and I will do even greater of you. I say to you, look unto me this day, and seek my face and my strength, for my joy shall abundantly flood your soul, says the Lord. And as it is written, my joy shall be your strength, and I will strengthen you this day. You do not begin to shake and tremble in the midst even of those things that you hear. For I, the Lord thy God, am thy peace, and I will do war in the midst of you. It is I who have come to set you free. I say to you, do not war in your carnal mind, but war in the spirit, O man of God and daughter of Zion. For I, the Lord thy God, will do great and exploits through you this day. Stand and see the salvation of thy God. And thou hast said, O God, I have stood and nothing has happened. I say to you, stand even so, and I will do great. And I have given you a shield that thou might cleanse the fiery darts of the enemy. O daughter of Zion, rejoice and be glad, for thy God reigns mighty and supreme in the midst of you. O man of God, shake off those heavy bands and say no more to thyself, I've labored so hard. I say to you, I will even quicken your mortal body this day, and thou shalt know that the saving grace of your God come upon you. And I will touch thy mind and thy infirmities even so, says the Lord. And I will purify even thy spirit this day, says God. I say to you, shout with the voice of triumph.
Yes.
The angels rejoice even with thee this day. And thou hast said, O God, that is heavy. I say to you, I will lift up the burden from you, and I will set you on higher ground. For this purpose was my Son manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one in the midst of you. O daughter of Zion, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And put on the armor that I have given you, and war against those things that come against you, and stand and see me work through you. I am the Lord your God.
Hallelujah.
Let's say it together again. Heavenly Father, we're gathered in to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we reverence your presence. You are our teacher and our comforter. Reveal to us even the secrets of our hearts, that we might be purified, that we might worship God in spirit and truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to touch this morning on some of the And I'm going to touch on different things because I think this is probably the last time that I see you. And I want you to receive what I'm saying, because the Bible does say that the people of God are destroyed for lack of knowledge, for lack of understanding. And I believe that in the body of Christ, you know, the church is, you know, there's a lot of confusion and, you know, we're hearing different things and stuff. But God is still the author of truth, and God is not the author of confusion. And so Satan and man has come along and, you know, put in a bunch of junk in the church. But I want you to look at somebody and right in the eye right now and say, I am not junk. God created me in his image and for his glory, that I might worship him. Hallelujah. You know, David the psalmist dealt... Goodness, I don't have that much time. David the psalmist dealt with some things in the scripture. David understood... You know, that's why David could write such psalms as Psalm 23, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, he feeds me, he takes care of me, he blesses me. My cup runs over. Even in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And David understood that if he followed the Lord, knew the voice. The Bible says we know the voice of God. I know when God speaks to me, and I know when Satan speaks to me. I know when the enemy comes. I know when he wants to play tricks in my mind. And folks, whether you accept it or not, why would Jesus speak about demons and evil spirits? And, you know, we need to understand there's only two voices we hear from. You know, you're either hearing Satan himself still saying that he's going to exalt himself and still saying to man, the ego of man, that man will be exalted and pride comes in. And you need to understand some of this areas. I just want to touch right now just to start on the book of James. But I just want to talk to you about some of the things that you can turn to if you want to the book of James. I'm just going to hit on about six things to let you know where all this evil stuff comes. Because in the book of James, we read that there's two kinds of wisdom, the natural, earthly world. And that's what's happened. That's what Brother Speed Wilson has been teaching about. The man wants to control. Man wants to have rules. Satanic rule is there. And that type of wisdom, the Bible teaches us that it is demonic. Natural, earthly, demonic. And so we know that demonic spirits are there. And in verse 3, 1 through 3 verses, focus is on evil or demonic. Or the of evil. You can read it in 4. 1 through 4. I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to lay some things for you. I read it yesterday just for the because I got about 30 minutes. But I just want to touch on some of the things. Also, if you have a pencil, somewhat of a repetition of James 3, 13 through 16, which reveals itself in the area of destructive interpersonal relationships that come in verse 14 and 16. The enemy comes to destroy us and rob and take from us everything that God has. And unless we're willing to receive instruction, the Bible says if you believe the prophet, you will prosper. You will eat the fat of the land. That means, you know, I was just telling Brother Speed, you know, I saw the hands that went up there. I'm going to eat with us for lunch. And I said, I'll take it. You know, I always want a double portion. You know? Bless me, Lord. You know? But if you, I'm just going to touch on some things that you need to check out in your own heart today, because bitterness, which we deal in verse 14 there, talks about bitterness, and against others, and God, and circumstances in our lives, the church, even some of you today are still bitter. You're bitter because somebody died, your wife, your husband, because of you're still bitter at your husband, or you're there in the same covenant relationship with him. We see all these things, and circumstances, and often ourselves, you know, in the book of Hebrews 12:15, he teaches us. And the whole thing that comes into this is pride. Pride goes before a fall. Amen? Yeah. Man will always. I've always said that pride, when he comes to us or the ego is within us, we ought to stand back and clap our hands at ego flat on his face. Because it'll do that all the time. Jealousy in verse 14 and 16 of the same teaches us. It deals with jealousy twice. Again, jealousy is pride is the source of jealousy. A jealousy spirit. Also deals in verse 14 there about selfishness. Selfishness is also, pride is the source. Selfishness. You know what selfishness is? It's a fish that swims by himself. I want all the water for me. Amen. A selfish. Oh, wow. You see when people say, wow. Amen. Say, I am all. Oh. Okay. Say, I am awful. If somebody says you're awful, say, yeah, I am. I am full of awful. Hallelujah. We're dealing here with centeredness or self-centered ambitions also in verse 14 and 16. And again, pride is the source, the spirit of pride. Arrogance in verse 14 is also the spirit of pride, the source. And self-deception, being deceived. Remember that Satan can only deceive us? Deception and bluff. He'll bluff you. You know what bluffing is? Yeah, he just bluffs you. Understand that Satan can only deceive you if you give into his blood, because Satan has been defeated, folks. And unless you understand the principle about the cross, you will always be defeated. And if you don't understand the atonement and the blood and who you are in Christ, see, one of the biggest problems we have in the church is that we don't know who we are. Oh, we're going to go to hell. Tell us we're not going to fly away. Oh, God, you know, what are we doing? You know, chaos. No, it's not chaos. God in control. I'm going to be there. You know, the pre, the post, and the mid, they don't agree. Amen? I just want to be at the post. Like Habakkuk. He went to his guard post and prayed. And there he lent his vision to God. That God might instruct him. People say, well, you can't see stuff. I say, well, I wonder why John saw. He said in the night season he was in the spirit and he saw. You know, let me tell you about the counterfeit of Satan that's standing in this hour. There's the new age counterfeit that is so real, because I told you yesterday the blood covenant, Satan has a blood covenant. That's why a lot of animals kill, people kill, they drink the blood with urine and all this kind of junk, you know. And one of the things that we need to understand is that there's an automatic writing which is... And yet you read in Daniel, you read in Habakkuk, John, and you read in the other prophets where God was constantly telling the prophet when they saw. He says, I saw, and the Lord said, write. I see, and I saw what God was saying, says, write. And I've been trying to teach the people, says, write down what God has told us. Oh, that's New Age, brother. No, it's as old as the Bible. You know? It's not New Age stuff. The New Age thing has been in for a long time. Sure, it's been in for a long time. But we've only seen it here in 15 years or so, where it's really been in a thrust. In Arizona, I live in Phoenix, and Sedona is the capital for witchcraft, one of the capitals of the nation for witchcraft. A beautiful place, you know. And it's one, you even see it in Newsweek. They got all kind of crystal and junk, you know. I confront those people. You know, brother, I go in there and I say, you're moving out of the city, you know. I don't know any better. I've been punched out before. I know what it means to be hurt, you know. But I'll go into the New Age movement in my city, and I'll confront him. I went in there like David one time. You know, David, the Bible says one time David acted like he was crazy. Like he didn't know what, you know, because... But that's the only way he could escape from the enemy. And I went in there to the New Age movement and said, oh, God. And I'm looking around and I see all the crystals, all the demonic junk that they have there, and I'm seeing all this stuff. And I said, what's this? He says, oh, you don't know that? I said, no, tell me. And they proceed to tell me, well, you know, you get the energy from the crystal and you get a source and you meditate on it. And then I look him right in the eye and I say, you are a lying spirit. And they go, oh. He says, who are you? And then they step and reflect, because I confronted them before, but they forgot. See, I was there, and they forgot, and they said, oh, we know you. We don't want to talk to you. And we need to have some confrontation. You know, it's not enough that we just pray. It's like fighting abortion. If you're just walking with the abortionist, the demonic force is going the same way. You're marching. There's a lot more march against abortion, and abortion is marching this way. You ought to march this way. Come on. You got to confront the enemy. That's why we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That means that we tell the devil right to his face, you shed innocent blood. And we're going to overcome it because we're washed in the blood of Christ. We have the blood. We've been smeared, painted, filled with it, you know. And I'm saved and sanctified. And if you don't confront the enemy in your own home, then you're going to be destroyed. That's why a lot of the church is suffering, a lot of backsliding, a lot of weakness in the church. And then when we find something different, if what we're hearing ain't doing nothing for me, honey, then give me something that will do something for me.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to understand. You know, I got people that come to me and says, I want to talk to you. And when I confront them on their marriage relationships and what's going on in their homes and everything, they get upset. And then they finally put their Bible to the breast and says, I don't need you. I got the word of God. You know. And I said, but honey, it's not working for you. Say this, it's not truth that sets me free. It's knowing the truth that sets me free. Well, it says you will know the truth, and the truth shall, will, have, make you free. You see, making us free is from what? You know, a lot of Christians have the mentality, I'm freeing Jesus, and the enemy comes and blinds us because we feel that we can do everything, you know, and drink and go here and go there and do everything. We wonder why we're so messed up, because they feel, well, the Bible says there's liberty in Jesus. I said, that's right, brother. It means you've been set free from the things that used to bind you. There's not a liberty to do whatever I want or whatever my flesh wants to do. I'm not at liberty to do that. That's why Paul said he brought his own body under subjection under the power of the Holy Spirit, literally beating it up. And so we feel, well, brother, I'm free in Jesus. You are? Paul said he was a prisoner. Amen. And we're sons. He said he was a slave, but we're sons of the Most High. And so he gives us, and when we're set free in Jesus, that means we've been liberated from perversion, from demonic activity, from lust, from sickness, from disease, from evil thinking. So all these things we can bring under control. You say, well, brother, how can you stop thoughts, bad thoughts? You can't. But the old cliche says, it says, you know, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but he doesn't have to build a nest there, honey. Amen? And you don't need to entertain those evil things. You need to get rid of them. You don't think that we as preachers don't war against evil stuff? Sometimes our mind is going, give me 5 minutes, I'll kill him, Lord, and then I'll repent, you know. And we got a war against this thing, because all that is demonic world thinking. stinking thinking. Say, stinking thinking. Amen. You see, the covenant, we're dealing with pride right here. The covenant of pride is the covenant of pride. The covenant of the blood came to set us free. And you know, before we know even about the covenant, the spirit of pride is so demonic that even in the covenant, you know, men used to cut their fingers and put blood together. That's how they had a covenant. They cut it here and, you know, they had a covenant relationship and the blood was the covenant. And so we have a covenant. Satan has a covenant with blood. We have the Satan worshippers have a covenant blood with Satan. We have a covenant blood with Christ. And so everything is parallel. There's a thing drawn that the enemy tries to duplicate and counterfeit. And the greatest thing is that, you know, men, because of pride, you know, you draw a covenant with men and they'll go show it. You know, men with his ego was always saying, you know, I've got a covenant. You know, I've got a covenant. You know, I've been circumcised, you know, and everything. And pretty soon, man, God had to circumcise man in a place where he couldn't be showing off. That's true. Well, you say, well, Helen, I can't believe he said that. Well, if you listen to what we're teaching, you know what we're talking about. Amen. Am I blushing? Oh, God, thank you. And so now we have the circumcision. God had to take us to a place of circumcision where we just get baptized in water. That's why it's important that you get baptized when you get saved. You need to be submerged in water because it's a circumcision without... And it's still a command to get baptized and be circumcised. I was circumcised. I was baptized in water. The Colossians, you read in the book of Colossians. You need, it's a command. It's ordered of God for salvation. An identification. It's a circumcision. It's a burial. It's a resurrection. Whatever it is, but God says, be baptized. You repent and be baptized. And, you know, oh, God, help us. You're only going to keep me here for another day. But I want to deal with some heavy stuff in the body of Christ. And I want to deal with some of the perversion spirits that are there because God wants... How many of you want to be set free? And let me tell you something, folks. I'm not coming from an area of not knowing anything. I was saved when I was 30 years old. I've been serving the Lord for 21 years now, 20 and a half. And so I've been there. Wine, women, song. I've known. I was all over the Far East where perversion is one of the greatest, most destructive things. You're going to find out that the ruling spirit of perversion and every kind of evil spirit, you're going to find it more intense or more prominent in the port cities because all kind of junk comes into the port cities in L.A., San Francisco, New York, the areas of Texas where there's port cities. You're going to find that there's more demonic spirit in the Bible Belt, which you call the center of, there's evil spirits all over. But you're going to find that in what they call the Bible Belt, you know, there's more, of course, Satan is infiltrating all over the place. L.A., for instance, you know, they just built one of the biggest Buddhist temples there. And the people, the Christians, rose up and said, hey, we don't want this, but they still build it. Right from about 3 miles from my church, they just killed, I think you all saw in the news, they just killed nine Buddhist monks or whatever they call them. You know. And I don't desire them to die, you know. I desire them to be converted. But God is going to have his way. And I'll tell you, I went to that Buddhist temple and I walked around it and I drove around it and said, I bind you, spirit of deception. I come against you in the name of Jesus. Every time I pass through one of those fortune tellers, I come against it. Amen. Amen. You see, you Christians like fellowship. You ought to do a study on the word luck. There's no such thing as potluck. In my church, God bless you. You do a study on that word, it's the most demonic and deceiving word there is. And you know, Christians, they're going to take off, go somewhere, and another Christian speaks the word and says, well, good luck, brother. Says, I don't walk by luck, brother. I walk by faith. Don't you love me? And we need to get some understanding of some of the area of deception. Boy, time is flying away. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. And let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 8. And I'm going to touch on some things because I think they're going to help you a lot. And I'm not going to pull no punches with you. I'm not here to be sarcastic or dirty. I'm here to show you some of the evil and some of the demonic spirits that have come and infiltrated in the area. You know, really in Scripture, you can't find whether they're Christians or non-Christian demonic spirits. I know in the book of Matthew chapter 15 that the daughter of, you know, there was a woman that came to Jesus and said, you know, my daughter is demonized. You know, And he said, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And that tells me that if the children's bread don't belong to the dogs, then the children's bread belongs to the people of God. Healing belongs to me. Blessing, peace, joy, everything that the kingdom of God belongs to me. I am a priest unto God. I am a king unto the Most High. I am washed in the blood. Sanctified, set apart. Don't ever go around thinking that you're nobody because you're somebody. If I must be somebody. God died for me. He sent his son for me. I must be worth something. I'm just unworthy, brother. Oh? How come the blood purchased you then? Come on. Don't you ever tell nobody, I'm just unworthy. I feel like I'm nobody. I'm somebody. I'm a king. I'm a priest of the Most High. I walk that way. I'm not just a super taco. I'm a super... Let's go to Ezekiel 8 and let's go to verse 5 right now. Ezekiel 8, verse 5. Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
And then he said to me, Son of man, raise your eyes now toward the north. So I raised my eyes toward the north, and behold, the north of the altar gate was the idol of jealousy at that entrance. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abomination which the house of Israel are committing here? Remember that the house of Israel, who is Israel? We are. We are. Say, I'm Israel. You do a study on the Bible on Israel, Jesus is called Israel. Okay, we are Israel. I know there's a literal nation, and then we are Israel. The Bible calls it, I am Israel. We are Israel. Okay? Been grafted in. That I should be far from my sanctuary. But yet you will see still greater abominations. And he's talking here to the people that are chosen people. He's talking to the church afar off, okay, which is now. And then he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And he said to me, Son of man, now dig through the wall. So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. So in verse 9, and he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations that are committed here. So I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping things and beasts and detestable things, which with all the idols of the house of Israel were carved on the wall all around. You see, you had crocodiles and every kind of junk, and everything shows us something that was wrong in our life. And standing, on verse 11 says, and standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel, Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them, each man with his censer in his hand, and the fragrance of the cloud of incense rising. And then every time you see incense rising, the praises of the people, it's now the sacrifice of praise to the Lord, is the sweet smelling savor to the Lord. It's our incense to God. And you need to understand that when we offer the sacrifice of praise, it's not that I'm pumping up something and struggling to worship God. You know, people say, I'm offering the sacrifice of praise to the Father. That's not what he's saying. The sacrifice of praise is because there's no other sacrifice. Praise is the sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice to praise. Praise is the sacrifice. You understand?
Amen.
Say, praise is the sacrifice.
Praise.
Therefore, I will praise Him. Because there's nothing else I God but praise. See, a lot of people think it's a sacrifice to praise. It's not a sacrifice to praise. I can praise Him when I'm weeping. I can praise Him when I'm down. I can praise Him when I'm up. I can praise Him.
Amen.
That's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice to praise Him. I bring to him as a sacrifice of praise. That's helping some of you anyway. And then he said to me, Son of man, do you see, verse 12, what the elders of the house of Israel committing in the dark? Okay, I want you to keep that. You know what they're committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images. For they say, the Lord does not see us, the Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, yet will you see a still greater abominations where they are committing. And then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, women were sitting and weeping for Tamar. And he said to me, do you see this, Son of man? Yet you will see still greater abominations than this. And then he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were prostrating themselves eastward toward the sun. Sun worshippers. You know, he said, oh, Easter Sunday. You know, brother was touching on that. It's so true. The people in my church say, let's have a sunrise service. I said, no, I don't want to have a sunrise service. How come you come and worship when I tell you to come and pray with me at 6 o'clock? And he said to me in verse 17, do you see the Son of Man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they have committed here, that they have filled the land with violence and provoked me repeatedly? For behold, they are putting the twig to their nose. And he says, therefore, I indeed shall deal in wrath. My eye will have no pity, so I shall spare. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I shall not listen to them. Right there, when they were worshiping the god Temas, which the women were weeping right in the chamber, says, I looked in there. God talks about the in the dark places, in the dark rooms of Israel, in the dark rooms of our homes, in the dark rooms of those areas. Well, said, brother, I don't get that out of there. I'm going to show you something. And it says here that they were weeping for Temas. And it says in it says that they put their nose to the twig. Temas was a god who's all was covered with male organs. Okay? And then when they put their nose to the twig, was they were putting their faces, their whole face, their mouth and everything to the male organs on this god. And they were weeping. And folks, I want you to pay attention to me because God's going to set us free. I want to be set free, don't you? And one of the things, and don't look there like, oh, I never heard of such things. One of the things that has happened in the area of perversion, somebody asked me yesterday, well, show me where it talks about oral sex being unnatural. Show me where it teaches this thing. I'm going to share something. Everything that is not natural is unnatural. Okay? And so the women were weeping and putting their whole face to the male organs that were on this this god that they worshiped. And they were weeping there, but putting their whole face to it. And that's what God is talking here when he's dealing with the abominations that are coming in our homes, is that there's been a lot of perversion that comes out of this area. And it's not natural. It's an unnatural thing that needs to be broken and it needs to be cut away. What happens in this area of oral sex, man gets like a wild animal. And pretty soon, man will infiltrate a woman through the wrong openings. Do I have to paint a picture? Do I mean overhead? Okay. Man will always infiltrate a woman through the wrong openings, which is unnatural. Okay? Whether it's through the mouth, through the rear, don't matter. And talking about these things in the bedroom that God is dealing with, don't get uneasy with me, okay? You're grown ups and I'm teaching some truth here. Amen. And if you think that it's easy teaching this stuff, you come and take my place. But we need to understand this area, folks. Otherwise, we're going to be deceived because God says, look at the abominations that they're doing in the dark rooms where I've got all these creeping things. Man will always infiltrate and go like an animal. When David was speaking about the sheep of God, he says, letting a shepherd, sheep will, if you leave us alone, folks, we'll destroy this earth in no time. And God, isn't it amazing that God identifies us with sheep? Sheep, you leave them alone, they don't make a sound. They go to the slaughter, you kill them, they die. But they are the most destructive animals on the earth. You leave them alone on a field. You know how they take them to the fields to eat what is left over from the corn and stuff? If you leave them long enough there, nothing is going to grow. They will destroy everything in their way. Sheep, if we don't have direction and we're not being led by the head shepherd in our lives, folks, we're going to be eating polluted water with urine and every kind of junk that is there because it's happening to a lot of the world today. And sheep left alone, even though the shepherd leads them to higher ground to eat that which God has formed, will always stop in the polluted holes and eat and drink the polluted water, though the shepherd is leading him to higher ground. And so man is no different because man is not guided by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will self-destruct and do everything and drink out of every cesspool that is in the way to the top ground where God is leading us. And so we need to deal with the things because when man begins to pervert and do the things that are unseemly and unnatural, man will always lead himself and be driven away by his own lust, the Bible says. For man is drawn away by his own lust to do those things that are unseemly, that are not natural. And if we don't correct it and get delivered from it, it's going to destroy our marriages, it's going to destroy our communion, it's going to destroy the covenant, and it's going to mess us up with our relationship with the Father.
And if we don't stop it now, a lot of the things that you see in homosexuality and lesbianism is because of the perverseness of man, that man no longer cares whether he enters to a different opening to a woman or not. Now, he's not only not satisfied to do that, now he wants to do it to man also, man with man, and women with women. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 1 that God turned them over to a reprobate mind because they were doing those things that were unseemly, that were unrighteous in the sight of God. And if we're going to be all that God wants us to be and war against every demonic spirit of perverseness that comes around us, folks, we're going to have to shake off some of the things. I have people come and say, well, you know, you're taking the fun out of marriage. I said, you're crazy and you're stupid and you're ignorant.
Amen.
And God loves you and God wants to set you free. Come on, folks. Am I telling you truth or am I lying to you? The Bible says that these are the things that are an abomination to God, and we need to be set free because man will burn in his own lust. Remember how I told you in the Old Testament when a man, you know, I wish we had the same principle now, man. I'd like to have gotten married to my wife and taken off for a year. And they took off for a year, brother. They didn't work. They didn't do anything. They just got it. What? Guess what they were doing? They were getting it out of their system. And man hasn't gotten out of our system, and we pervert and we do all these things, and folks, we need deliverance.
Amen.
I've talked with ladies. Let me tell you something, folks. I deal with a lot of counseling. I deal a lot with deliverance. And if you had a Barry Johnson, which I hope the brother will have him come over here one of these days. Barry Johnson teaches a lot of things on eating disorders and bulimia, anorexia, and all these things to the body of Christ. And he was a director of the Baptist hospitals for 25 years. And this brother says, brother, I was teaching in some of the things that I'm going to be teaching even in my church. And I said, brother, I said, you need to understand this thing. Jack says, I was in the Baptist hospitals for years and I saw the abominations. I said, we have to take out of women light bulbs and bottles and all kind of junk that men would do to women. I have a sister in my church that has been destroyed because her husband was constantly sticking a broom up her rear end. And folks, I'm being very blunt with you because you need to understand what happens. And these are Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit and serving the Lord and worshiping right next to you. And if we're going to have deliverance and blessing from God, we're going to have to clean up our act in our minds. Amen? We're going to have to be on the mind of God until we can begin to flow under the anointing. And then we're going to have victory. If you're going to worry about whether you're going to get raptured or you're going to walk in, you better change your mind and begin to do the things that God tells us to do on this earth that we might be purified and sanctified for His glory, for His honor. Until we're no longer just mere men trying to get into a kingdom to not suffer anymore, but we're walking in purity and righteousness and sanctification. That's the thing that God wants out of His people, a people that are going to be vessels of honor and gold in the house of God. Purified in mind, spirit, and soul. Until we are so holy that God will say to us, welcome in and come in into the house. Well done, the good and faithful servant. I want every demonic thing, every evil thought, every intent of lust and perverseness. I want it taken out of me. I want out of me to flow rivers of living water. That's what God wants in your life. He wants to purify and sanctify you. One of the sisters was crying the other day. He says, you know, it hurts me so much, but this is what my husband does to me. And then let me tell you something, how I pray. And I'm not embarrassed to tell you this. I don't care if you're 80 years old or past age, whatever you think you are. You need to pray again that God gives you a desire for your wife. And wives, I don't care how old you are, you need to pray that God gives you a desire. We're too old for that stuff. Abraham was 99 years old. Yeah. Oh, God. You see, it is good because God put it in you. Sex is not dirty. It is good if you do it right, if we do it right. Amen? Well, Myrtle, here goes on the fire. No, I'll tell you one thing. You'll be honored. You'll be sanctified. You'll be full of the Holy Ghost. And God's going to do some neat things in your life. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Look at verse 21. We're dealing here with sin. One. I said it so fast, you guys didn't pay attention to me. Romans 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. That's what they were talking about in the bedroom that Ezekiel was talking about in chapter 8. All these creeping things that are in the thing. Look at the abomination of what they're doing. And therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts and to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. You need to understand, we talked about the creature, not necessarily talking about an animal or something they carved. The creature, remember, you're a creature. But now I'm a new creature. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ. For this reason, God gave them over to a degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. They were worshiping the creature. They were worshiping each other. They were lusting after each other. They wanted to possess one another until men burned with fire of lust within them for men and women for women. And it's happening today. One of the most destructive teachings that I see in the kingdom of God is because people haven't grasped on eternal security. They preach on eternal security. And I've got deliverance. I've had alcoholics. I've had people beating their wives at home. I said, brother, it don't matter. I'm eternally secured. I'm saved. I said, you are going to hell. That's where you're going.
Amen.
And people don't want to hear that. Come on. You see, the license in the liberty of Christ is not to do whatever you want because you're a Christian. It's to be set free from whipping your wife. It's set free from abusing your wife. It's set free from wives abusing their husband. Don't look at me like wives don't do the things. I've known men, women that whip their husbands.
Right.
This guy walked in a job one time and he had a black eye and I said, you know, will you say to the guy, what happened? I said, well, I hit my wife. And what happened? I said, well, she hit me. And then what happened? I said, I hit her back. And then what happened? I said, and she hit me, and she hit me, and she hit me. Stand with me. Look at verse 27. In the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of women and burning their desires towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with an unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Israel. He says, look at all the things that are going on in the dark room, Ezekiel. Look at the abominations of my people. And I don't stand here as a judge to you. I don't stand here as a usurper of authority, because God knows my heart and my mind. A lot of things that happen in the kingdom. Where do you go? I thought I had a paper here. I was going to share some things with you, because I left it in. One of the things that we learn about perverse spirits, you see, there are symptoms also that we understand when there's demonic activity. There are certain things that happen to our body. One of the areas of perverseness a lot of times is dizziness. And you need to check that out. It's not only perverseness of what we're talking about, but a lot of times women, there's the fear of having sex even with your husband. And there's that fear. And a lot of times that demonic spirit of fear is going to cause dizziness. You know, you ever hear women say, I got a headache. You know, I've heard men say that. Men ought to not have headaches. My Lord. Come on. These are spirits that come because of the perverse spirit of fear of relationships. Those things need to be broken. I know you don't hear a sermon like you haven't heard this sermon, I know. You haven't heard it in your church. I'm practicing with you so I can go set my church with you. No. I'm bold with my church. I don't tickle ears. I don't want my ears tickled. And if we understand the principles of the perverse spirits that are there of lust, it comes on from being molested as a child. It comes out of all the junk that comes in, whether it's masturbation to whatever happens in our life. All this kind of junk is there, folks. And don't look at me like, wow, you know, this is embarrassing. No, it's truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And you need to resist those things if you're going to be purified and sanctified. If we're going to do warfare and win in the end like God wants us to win, then we need to shape up our lives. I'm shaping up my life. Amen? Come on. We need to straighten up and fly right. Amen? See, a lot of times, you know what happens. Let me share something that happens. When you understand this principle about while they wept and put their nose to the twig, what happens when we do this thing, folks, it's like worshiping God and then bowing down to a Polynesian deity or some other god at the same time. It's the same principle that they were doing. They were weeping and putting their nose to the twig. And when we do these things in our room, and go the wrong way in sexual relations, whatever, is we're doing the same thing. We're still worshiping God, and we're standing in His presence and lift our hands and sing praises to God, and at the same time we're bowing to a Polynesian deity. You understand that? And demonic activity and all kind of junk comes into your area. Maybe you've never done it. I don't know. And I'm not here to say that you have. I'm just saying, don't do it. Say, Father, I come against the spirit of perversion. I command that you loosen me. Go in the name of Jesus. You have no place in me. I come against the spirit of lust. Loosen me and let me go. In the name of Jesus. You have no place in me. All familiar spirits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All the spirits that cause dizziness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that have to do with perverseness in all areas of my life, go in Jesus' name. You have no place in me. I take authority over you. I send you to the dry places in Jesus' name. I bind your power in Jesus' name. You will not destroy me. I will not worship you anymore. I will serve the true and living God. And in the name of Jesus, I am purified. Hallelujah. For the sake of time, that's all we're going to do right now. You've been blessed? You got some insight? You agree? Amen. When you say amen, that means it's done. You're not just, it's finished. Let me tell you something, folks. If we're going to win in this life and we're going to deal with the brothers that are teaching us, then we need to purify ourselves before the Lord. I want to be a mighty warrior before God. I want to destroy the work of the evil one. I've seen it come in my home, and I've seen all kind of junk in my families and my brothers and sisters. I've seen alcoholism. I've seen divorce. I've been all that kind of junk. And I refuse to bow down to the enemy any longer. That's why I come so strongly against the area of divorce, because, see, there's some of you here that are contemplating that stuff, and you ought not to. I don't care. You have a covenant relation, and you need to take a strong stand on it and stimulate and put up the fire on you. You know, my wife and I, you know, I love my wife, and it doesn't mean that we don't have disagreements, and it doesn't mean that sometimes we get out of kilter, folks. It means that we understand who we are, and we understand that, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I offended you, you know. The enemy comes to me too, like he comes to you. I'm not exempt from all that stuff. And I'm constantly kissing my wife in church. I love you, you know. It's not a mushy love, it's a true love. And a brother came to me, one of my sanctified elders came to me and said, "Brother, I don't think you ought to be kissing your wife." I said, "Oh, would you rather I kiss yours, brother?" And we get so holy and so righteous, you know. We put on our garments of righteousness. Let me tell you something. Put on the garments of praise and put on the rope of righteousness. You are righteous. Say, I am righteous.
I'm righteous.
Not on the basis of what I do, but because God called me through the blood of Christ and sanctified me and set me apart for His glory. I am righteous because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah! Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering.
Thank you, Jesus. You know what He's been teaching? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Didn't say try it. Do you want to? Think about it. There's four times where the Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Now, it implies and says that in other ways, but there are four specific places where it says that specifically. Be ye holy. Amen. Father, we thank you for touching and working in our hearts and our spirits. Put a desire that specifically. Be ye holy. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.